Listeners, we have an exciting episode for you this week. Making his debut on the Deduction Podcast as Tax Foundation's new president and CEO, we chat with Daniel Bunn. We talk about how he got into tax policy and his time in the U.S. Senate. We then discuss how he made his way over the Tax Foundation and his plan to reorganization under his leadership. We also hear some stories about his time hiking the Appalachian Trail and his obsession with smoking meats. We hope you enjoy our interview with Tax Foundation's new president, Daniel Bunn. Hello, and welcome to The Deduction, a Tax Foundation podcast. My name is Jesse Solis, Communications Manager here at the Tax Foundation, and we have a very special episode for you all today. You will recognize this voice instantly. He's been on this podcast before many times, but this will be his first time joining us as the new president and CEO of the Tax Foundation, and that is the one and only Daniel Bunn. Daniel, welcome and congrats on making your deduction debut as president.
Thanks so much, Jesse. It's a privilege to be here, as always.
As always, yes. So I could tell people about your history, and I'm sure some people already know a bit about you, but I think it'd be more fun just to hear directly from the man himself about who he is. So before we even get into Tax Foundation stuff, just tell us about you, Daniel. Where are you from originally, and how did you make the trek to D.C.?
Sure. So I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, which is an interesting part of the world these days. It's a very dynamic place. But when I was growing up, it was still reeling in some ways from the textile industry leaving and trying to reinvent itself as a place for manufacturing and being attractive to multinational investment. I remember early days, a lot of my neighbors were employed by BMW, and BMW came to town, and then Michelin came to town, and there were all these exciting things happening. I went to undergraduate at North Greenville University, which is a small Baptist school. And then I went to Central European University for my graduate school. And in between the two, I did a little thing called hiking the Appalachian Trail. But while in Europe studying economic policy, I kind of fell in love with this transatlantic, multicultural kind of opportunity to learn about economics, and particularly in Hungary, which was one of the countries that transitioned away from communism in the 90s, and learning about those institutions and things like that. Moved to back to the U.S. after finishing grad school, and looked for opportunities up on Capitol Hill. I did some internships with Senator Jim DeMint, who is from South Carolina. But when he headed off to lead the Heritage Foundation, I was left looking for an opportunity, and I found a job with Senator Tim Scott, also from South Carolina. So working for some home state senators was where I got my start in D.C., and I worked in the Senate for more than 6 years before coming to Tax Foundation a few years ago.
What was harder, grad school or hiking the Appalachian Trail?
Oh, they were completely different challenges. I'd say I had much harder days on the Appalachian Trail. But I think the whole task of grad school was harder than hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
Most of the time on the Appalachian Trail, all you have to do is wake up and walk in one direction. Right. But grad school, there's some serious projects you have to deal with.
I'm a pretty terrible hiker, but I respect you for doing that and for the European studies as well. So I kind of pieced together where I think taxes fit in there, but where would you say was like the pinpoint for you of like, hey, I want to do tax policy for a career? I'm saying this as a guy who hosts a tax policy podcast. I did not want to do this when I was a kid. The idea never crossed my mind. Where do you think for you, you knew exactly was like, hey, I think tax policy is what I want my career to be in?
Yeah, so I'd say there were two pivot points. One was when I first realized I wanted to study economics. And that's primarily because economics is a toolkit for identifying all sorts of different opportunities to change policy or impact people's incentives or help businesses think through different investment decisions and things like that. It's a huge toolkit with lots of applications. And I really wanted to do economic policy and look at how things were shaping up after the financial crisis and all the different questions that were being asked. It was kind of an interesting time to be in grad school right after the financial crisis and all the various debates that were being had about monetary policy and fiscal policy and things like that. As far as tax policy in particular, I was working with Senator Mike Lee leading up to the tax reform debates in 2017. And if you followed Senator Lee throughout the years, he had a pretty substantive tax reform agenda along with Senator Marco Rubio. And being able to be on his staff and thinking through the implications of the tax reform and of his broader agenda kind of opened my eyes to all the opportunities to work in tax policy. And after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed, it was a really interesting time to be on Capitol Hill, because not only were we really excited to see, you know, kind of where this was going to pan out, but also there were a lot of unanswered questions even about the legislation that had just been passed. So you are learning about things that you know that your senator or a member of Congress had just voted on, but then, you know, all these new acronyms and applications. And it was just a really important moment for me to say, yes, I love economic policy generally, but this is an opportunity to really sink my teeth into tax policy, both because I had been looking at it as a staffer for Senator Lee for a couple of years, and then after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act had passed, to be able to look into it more deeply as a member of Tax Foundation's team.
Now, I think you make some interesting points there too, Daniel, about how much you can really learn about economics in school, but also on the Hill as well, because the Hill is really where the policy shapes into place. And you worked for some members who were passionate about tax policy and showed a lot of, you know, interest in the details of, you know, getting the policy right. So what was kind of some of your main takeaways from your time on the Hill, and why did you still want to do taxes afterwards? So I think especially too, in this day and age, we don't need to talk about the political climate, but it's very easy to want to leave it quickly after you're done on the Hill. And you're still, you know, we're not political here, we're nonpartisan, but we're still kind of in the fight. So why do you want to stay in the fight even after the Hill?
The biggest thing for me on Capitol Hill was the opportunity to learn something new every week. And now that can be overwhelming, especially as a new staffer, and there's all these different technical terms or acronyms or whatever in every single policy area. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was really an opportunity to say, okay, I've got, you know, roughly 3 weeks a month to go, you know, wall to wall with all sorts of policy work and, you know, putting out fires or responding to different meetings or things like that. But then you have recess, and recess for me wasn't a time to invest and say, okay, what is it about the last 3 weeks that I had no clue about that I need to talk to somebody about to know a little more detail how these things all fit together. And that was a really exciting opportunity, because when you have a .senate.gov email, you can email almost anybody in the country. And if they're the expert on the issue, they'll get back to you and share their perspective and help you to learn what you need to know to be able to make the decisions you need to make or the recommendations you need to make. And that was really exciting for me to be able to come up during the different debates that were being had. I was on the Hill. For me, tax policy and economic policy more generally, it really matters to people. It matters day in and day out to business leaders, to families. It matters in cross-border situations and international discussions. And that's what has kept me, as you say, in the fight, being able to participate in those discussions and those, you know, trying to answer some of the harder questions has really kept my, you know, curiosity engaged, and just generally being able to be part of the work that Tax Foundation's been able to do to shape that debate and direct some of the research questions.
And so correct me if I'm wrong with the history here, but after you left the Hill, you came to the Tax Foundation specifically with the intent of leading the newly formed global tax policy team, correct?
Exactly. So at the time, the organization, I mean, for many years, the organization had had a rough outline of a research agenda for international tax policy. Most of it was simply comparative, to be able to say what tax systems around the world look like and how the U.S. compares, with a goal of showing that the U.S. was an outlier. I think that was a pretty consistent theme for some of the research papers and the comparative things, and like our International Tax Competitiveness Index as well. After tax reform, there was a question of, well, what should we do now? You know, there was major reform. The U.S. isn't, you know, all the way to number one on the index, but it certainly changed things significantly. And I was brought in to put more formality around our international tax research agenda and engage with some of the early debates at the time that have eventually led to what we know as the global minimum tax and some other, you know, international tax policy conversations. So I joined the team to run and formalize a research agenda around international tax policy. And it's been fun to see how that has grown and be able to, you know, see opportunities for that, you know, going into the future.
Yeah, the team has definitely grown substantially in the past year alone. And it seems like, you know, there's a pretty good long-term track for that global program there, which we can get into later. But what were some of those kind of key differences that you encountered or had to grow through jumping from helping write tax policy on the Hill to doing research for global tax policy, not just for lawmakers in Capitol Hill, but, you know, our global team does a lot of work with leaders in Europe and Spain and South American countries. What was kind of that jump like to go from I'm advising the senator to all of a sudden I'm trying to help influence tax policy, not just in the U.S., but kind of everywhere?
Yeah, the biggest thing I would say was the pace. The pace on Capitol Hill is very different than the pace at a think tank. Now, I had some transition from Senator Lee's personal office to the Joint Economic Committee and being able to do committee work, which is a different pace than a personal office. But there was still a lot of tie towards just the political, you know, rhythm and, you know, the pressure points and things like that. So the biggest thing for me was being able to take a moment and think through long-term, what are the, you know, the relationships, the conversations, the, you know, partnership opportunities that will best allow this global program to succeed? And I was able to think, okay, I don't necessarily, all my stakeholders are not, you know, necessarily going to be voting at the end of the day. Now my stakeholders are like, who am I going to be working with for a project or an event? Or, you know, who internally is going to, you know, help build this relationship between federal tax policy and international tax policy? And what conversations are we going to be having about the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and how all of this kind of fits together? So it was a completely different mindset than being kind of in the trenches on Capitol Hill thinking, okay, just about every conversation I'm going to have is going to lead to a vote or, you know, a yes vote or a no vote, and being able to categorize things in that kind of political direction to being able to sit back and think, okay, this is not necessarily about yes votes and no votes. This is about a debate. And being able to have a debate at a much higher level and engage in that debate as a participant in a much higher, much more proactive way, particularly on international tax, than the organization had been doing before.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, especially, you know, off the Hill, on the Hill, it's like you have to learn so many personalities and figuring out how to in any Congress either get to 218 of the House or to get to, you know, 51 of the Senate. But, you know, off the Hill, it's a lot more than that. And even if the personalities aren't always quite as big, it's still a lot of pieces to try to put together and figure out all the time. So the global team, it was growing fast under your leadership there. It's still growing fast. This opportunity for president opens up the Tax Foundation. I know your father, you have kids, you're really involved in your church back home. And you already had a busy agenda going on. What made you want to become even busier and take on a bigger role? What made you decide, hey, I think I want to apply for this new job here?
That's a great question. I'd say two major things. One, you know, Jesse, as an organization, we've had a lot of strategic conversations over the last couple of years about where we think there are opportunities for growth. And I've been a significant player in those conversations. So one of the things was thinking about the investment that I've made in those strategic conversations and wanting to see the success of the team in line with those goals and being able to say, hey, you know what, let's see if I can see this through in a different way in leadership of the organization. The other thing, and this gets to the family aspect of it, you know, my wife was really supportive from, you know, my early considerations of this role all the way through the end. She certainly has seen the growth that I've had at Tax Foundation and the opportunities that Tax Foundation has allowed me to have and the different relationships on the team. And she saw it as really an opportunity to continue working with the same people in a different way, but towards that strategic end. My kids are great as well. My youngest, who is 5, I think the day after I got the job and we had some conversations about the job, he said at breakfast the next morning, he said something like, Daddy, how was your first day as president? And, you know, I had to explain to him, you know, because he was thinking president, like president of the United States. And I had to clarify that, no, I wasn't president of the United States. This was, you know, still daddy's job and the same office that he visited and things like that. But my kids are very supportive and excited about the opportunity as well. And I think on the church side, you know, I'm an elder in my church, and just consistently over the last several years, it seemed that there have been opportunities for leadership and the type of mindset that I bring to leadership to have those kind of tools utilized in a lot of different situations. And I, at the end of the day, I didn't see it necessarily as adding something new, but rather doubling down on something existing.
That's a great mindset to have. And I think, speaking personally, we're all excited you're in the role, and we're excited to see where you go from here. And let's talk about that.
That's good to hear, Jesse.
Yeah. We also, Daniel and I in our office share a wall, so I'm not just saying that for brownie points. But let's talk about that. I think often when we talk about economic policy, especially here at TF, we're not just talking about how to Band-Aid solutions or how to get something done, you know, right now for a tomorrow fix. We often think long term and stress the importance of long term economic growth. So let's start with the kind of like your 1 year vision. Where do you think Tax Foundation's priorities should be, you know, from the public's perspective for the next 6 months, 12 months?
Yeah, so it's always difficult to answer questions like this because we have 3 different policy units. We have our state team that focuses on U.S. state policy, and that debate can be very different from the other 2 policy units, which is the federal level and then the global level.
Very different and very different 50 times in a row, too. So
Exactly. And, you know, so I think the 3 areas that I want to see, because we have different policy teams, see success in, there's kind of a general theme behind it, which is everywhere Tax Foundation shows up, we are able to achieve a level of policy success and recognition that also allows us to see more opportunities for policy success and recognition, being able to not only enter the debate, but often to be able to shape the debate. So at the state level, we need to be able to continue to be able to say yes to opportunities where we're being invited to have a voice in the debate. And that's going to mean being able to invest in the team to be able to have, you know, bandwidth for saying yes to those opportunities. At the federal level, there's a lot of policy debates that are coming down the pike with the expirations built into the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And we want to be able to provide a long-term vision for where the U.S. tax code should go, as well as proactively engaging in what the pragmatic short-term compromises or opportunities for pro-growth policy in the context of divided government might look like. Now, I said divided government. We still don't know what the government will look like because we're recording this on November 14th, and they haven't actually called all the races that we need to know. But even in the expectation of, you know, if things stay the same with slimmer margins in the House for the Democrats, it's going to be a difficult challenge to see what tax policy looks like in the next couple years and to be able to plan beyond that. For the international side of things, I think the team is really geared towards engaging with the EU more directly. Now, a lot of folks don't necessarily understand the EU role, especially in the U.S. A lot of folks don't understand the EU's role in tax policy, but they have consistently, policymakers in Brussels have consistently been pushing the envelope on what Brussels might be able to do on tax policy. And we think it's important for Tax Foundation to show up to those debates with a pro-growth mindset and being able to say, hey, these are the things that the EU values, and we recognize those things as actually valuable. But in order to achieve those things, you need tax policy to be right-sized, both at the member state level and with whatever policies the EU as a whole might be looking towards, that those sorts of principles and policies need to be embedded with a pro-growth mindset as well.
And I've made this offer before, but if you ever want me to tag along with you to Brussels, I am here and I am willing. And, you know, I'm great on airplanes. But no, that's great. And I know this could be a bit of a hard question to answer, but let's pretend we fall asleep tonight, wake up tomorrow, it's November 14th, 2042. What's your vision for what Tax Foundation would look like 20 years from now?
So there's two things that I think would probably be look differently than Tax Foundation looks today if the things in my head actually come to fruition. One is a much more, much deeper connection to the public finance academic world. We sit as a think tank kind of between the academic world and the policy world, and we have all sorts of friends in the academic community, but we don't have a lot of formal relationships, and we don't really have like a working paper series or anything or a regular conference or opportunities for academics to, you know, share their voice apart from some events that we have. And I think there's opportunities for us to deepen those relationships. Already with our Tax EDU program, we've been working on relationships with some researchers who are interested in using our educational tools as part of their research. And I think in 2042, I would like to see a lot more of that, those sort of partnerships and relationships. The other way that I think about Tax Foundation and the opportunities for us over the next 20 years comes with our tools. So we have all sorts of tools that we use to evaluate tax policy. I mentioned the International Tax Competitiveness Index earlier. We also have the State Business Tax Climate Index, which our state team publishes. And then we have our federal model that we use to evaluate the revenue and economic impacts of federal tax policy. I would love by 2042 to have, you know, maybe an additional 5 or 6 tools that we can use, particularly on the international side, to be able to do tax modeling for foreign countries and to have really highly respected modeling and evaluation tools that our team can bring to bear in more debates. I think, you know, generally speaking, we have a lot of fiscal challenges as a country, and there are a lot of other countries that also have major fiscal challenges. And being able to provide quantitative tools to help policymakers think through how to design tax policy to have sustainable revenue, but also be growth oriented, will be really valuable. So I think, you know, 20 years from now, being able to say, hey, not only do we have those tools that we were looking at in 2022, but being able to have additional modeling and additional quantitative tools that are valuable for policymakers to evaluate different tax policy options.
Big plans. I definitely think achievable plans, and truthfully exciting, too. It's going to be great to see where this organization goes in the coming years. As we wrap things up here, do you mind if we do a little speed round, Daniel?
Sure.
All right. These are not tax questions at all. You've been warned. What was your dream job as a kid?
I wanted to be an Air Force fighter pilot.
Nice. That's fun. What was your first concert?
I think it was Reliant K. I was thinking about this earlier today since you sent me this question earlier today, but I think it was Reliant K.
I don't need to get any more music. I could stay there forever, but
that's fine.
Anyway, what's your favorite movie?
This is a tough one. I want to say Princess Bride because it's my go-to. But
because it's so good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good favorite movie. What's a subject you could speak on longer than taxes?
This is a tough one as well I'm passionate about a lot of my hobbies, but some of my hobbies are relatively new and I could talk for a while about them. So like certainly backpacking and camping, you know, I could talk about for a while, but I don't do those as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. But the hobby, I think the answer I want to give to this question is grilling and smoking. So, I think about 6 years ago, I started smoking different meats and, investing in a smoker, and I could talk about different meats and styles and my routines and what I've learned from people, probably for quite a while.
Do you have like a smoker that's like yours, or do you have a Green Egg, or what's your setup, if I may ask real quick?
Yeah, so my setup, it's relatively cheaply made. So it's a good old char griller, side by side gas and charcoal grill. So
it's a classic American thing. Yeah.
Anytime I want to, you know, grill a steak, I've got the gas grill. But I have a smoker with an offset firebox, and that's you know, it's worked for me. I think I've had it about 5 years, and it's fantastic.
Nice. And last question, Thanksgiving is coming up. What dish are you looking forward to eating the most? Or since you just mentioned smoking, what are you looking forward to making the most?
So on the smoking side, I'm traveling down to South Carolina for Thanksgiving, to be with my family. And I'm not sure if I'll have an opportunity to do it, but I'd like to smoke a holiday ham, which holiday ham, you can just like buy at a store and then eat it. Right. Yeah. But if you throw it on the smoker for a few hours and you give it a nice glaze, it's, you know, it's 10 times better. So that's something I'm looking forward to next week. I'm not certain it'll happen. But if that doesn't happen, I'd say the thing I'm looking forward to the most is sweet potatoes with crushed pecans.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Daniel, we're excited about what's ahead. Again, congrats on becoming president of this organization. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesse.
And one last thing for our listeners, just a reminder, we will be having a mailbag episode coming up. So feel free to send us your tax policy questions. Reminder that we're not CPAs or financial advisors, so we cannot give you any tax advice or any filing advice. But if you have questions about different ballot initiatives that just happened in your state or what's going on in different countries with tax policy, feel free to drop us a note at taxfoundation.org/mailbag. See you guys next time on The Deduction.